Today is the Feast of All Saints. Before we read the epistle, we just want to remind all of you to make every effort, even though it isn't a holy day of obligation, to assist at Mass tomorrow on the day that we pray for the souls of the faithful departed, so All Souls Day, and as you know, the Mass. Masses are at 9 a.m., the High Requiem Mass, and then the evening Mass at 7 p.m. This epistle is taken from the Book of Apocalypse. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels who had it in their power to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Of the tribe of Aser, 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 sealed. After this, I saw a great multitude which no man could number out of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and with palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around about the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne, worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen." Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. At that time, Jesus, seeing the crowds, went up the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the earth. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men reproach you and persecute you, and speaking falsely, say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and exult, because your reward is great in heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For many years now, we have celebrated, this community has celebrated this feast with a high mass, giving honor to all the saints in heaven. First of all, honor and glory to God, our Creator, our Savior, and then to the Blessed Virgin Mary, depicted here as Our Lady of Grace. Because every grace we receive comes through her hands by divine will. And then we honor, of course, all the saints in heaven who also are there in heaven because they received grace from God through the hands of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And they didn't waste it. God's gift of grace became fruitful in them, and that's why they reached eternal beatitude. Now, in this chapel, in a way, it could have a secondary name because it could be called the Chapel of Saints. And a special day like this because, first of all, 35 or so years ago, when our Father Superior was choosing the appointments for this chapel, he decided to put these plaques, as you know, above the windows with the opening words in Latin of the 8 Beatitudes, which are recalled in today's Gospel. That was how our Lord began his public life in terms of the first sermon to the people and to his disciples, beginning with the 8 Beatitudes, with the perfection of the spiritual life and the promise of those who follow his will reach heaven. And then Father decided to also put many statues and images of the saints in this small, humble chapel. To inspire us, to remind us of where we are going, God willing. That we can reach heaven also. That these people, for the most part, started out their lives just like the rest of us. It's hard for us to imagine them as ordinary people. Yes, there are some recorded instances of very holy small children who are saints, seem to be saints from the very beginning, very holy. But for the most part, all of these people here, just the saints depicted on both of these walls of the chapel and in the shrines, are men and women just like the rest of us. They had their faults. They were sinners, every one of them. Some of them big sinners. But they turned their lives around by following God's grace from moment to moment. Recently, we were reading a story, an account of some of the words of Saint Bernadette of Subaru. For some reason, I have a devotion to her, so last year or two, I've read some books about her, and this one account gives her quotations of people who knew her, family, relatives, witnesses who lived into the 19th century, and they recorded all her words. So this is what this book is. And it was surprising to me what a regular, ordinary type person she was. And how she dealt with those who were persecuting her and trying to twist her words in terms of her account of the vision that she had, the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's astounding. Quite ordinary girl and quite ignorant of her catechism and her faith. But she had, and I think that's why God and the Blessed Virgin Mary, she was chosen to do this task. To further the revelation of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary through this extremely poor girl who had really, by the world standards, nothing to offer. She was a good girl and faithful to her duties and a hard worker. But when she was given these inspirations from God through the Blessed Virgin Mary to show up, to follow the grace, to be at that grotto there, to listen to the words of Blessed Virgin Mary, to listen to those words, she was there. Even when her family, friends, authorities, police, all sorts of people were trying to stop her. She didn't cave in. And if she can do it, so can we. So today we honor the countless saints that are in heaven, that just a small number we know their names of, the ones on the calendar, Universal Church, and then all over the world, honored in particular areas. But we could probably think maybe 95% of the saints honored today, we don't know their names. They're forgotten. But no, they're not. They're in heaven giving glory to God. And God willing, we reach heaven, we will know these people. And they will thank us for honoring them on this feast day. In the early church, there was the celebration of the deaths of martyrs. In fact, they would, on the anniversary of certain martyrs, they would have a special mass and celebration. And because there were so many numerous martyrs and their relics, they started to have them on a common day in different areas. And that even in the 4th century, so a few hundred years after Christ left this earth, there was already an All Saints' Day, a common day honoring the saints. But as you know the story, and it's worth repeating, it was this structure called the Pantheon, which I had the privilege of seeing some years ago. This round building with a dome and then an opening in the top. And it was built by Marcus Agrippa. And why did he do this? Because Caesar Augustus, this is about 20 years before the coming of Christ, he waged a war against his former general Mark Antony and then Cleopatra, who were having an affair. So he was defeated, and because, and to honor this event of this and this military victory, Agrippa built this monument in the center of Rome. And it was consecrated to all the pagan deities. And so that's lasted like that for centuries. Well, after the decline and the fall of the Roman Empire, the church decided to take this and convert it to a beautiful church, honoring Our Lady, Queen of Martyrs, Queen of all the martyrs. And they, when they had the consecration of the church, because it had been obviously an evil place, a temple of pagan worship, when it was consecrated, they transferred numerous relics of the saints into the building there. And so, that is the stational church during the Friday, the octave of Easter. And very important, Easter week is the most important week of the year, and one of the days is to honor all the martyrs and Our Lady, Queen of all saints and Queen of martyrs. Now, you remember Pope Gregory VII, his portrait is in the hall now. He was the pope in the 9th century that moved the date of honoring the saints to November 1st. So it's like 1,200 years we've been celebrating this feast day on this day. Of course, you know, in heaven, there is a huge celebration today, because the days, liturgical days, the most important feasts on earth are also celebrated in heaven. And why is that? Because of the doctrine of the communion of saints. If you recall from your catechism, the communion of saints means the same as the Catholic Church or the mystical body of Christ. We belong to the communion of saints. So, the communion of saints consists, of course, of God, Blessed Virgin Mary, all the saints in heaven, all the faithful on earth, meaning Catholics on earth, and all the souls in purgatory. And that term saints is used because it's concerning those who are in possession of the sanctifying grace, or at least called to it. If they've lost it, they are prepared to regain it. So we're all saints in that sense. And this day, honoring them is for several reasons. One, to thank God for all the graces He has given us, but especially all those saints, that they reached heaven, their goal. A second reason for this feast is to stir up in us a very fervent and holy desire to imitate these saints. They're not just pictures on a holy card or a composition image to just be looked at and admired and then walk out the door as if everything's the same. All of these images in this whole chapel have been blessed. They're sacramental. So, for example, you pray to Saint Rita today, the saint of impossible causes. You pray before that statue, you think of her, and you will receive an answer. Maybe today, maybe soon, maybe years from now. Because make no mistake about it, when you are inspired to pray, especially to one of the saints, Our Lord is giving you a grace at that moment to do that. It's not just something that comes into your head. You can't pray. None of us can pray without a grace from God. Another reason, the third reason for this feast, to implore divine mercy through this multitude of intercessors, thousands, millions of martyrs, confessors, virgins, widows, men and women, boys and girls are in heaven waiting to be asked for help. So it'd be rude, it'd be a stupid thing to not ask the saints for help today, for maybe a very difficult situation you may have or problem. And then the fourth reason, as we've mentioned in the past, for this feast is to honor all those saints who are unknown, besides the known ones, the unknown saints, and to supply for deficiencies in our celebration during the year, to make up for the times we or the world or the church the way it is today have ignored these saints and not honored them. Now we may think they are so far above us. How can I ever, I want to get to heaven, but I have so many faults. I'm a sinner. And lucky if I make it to purgatory. So we may lack hope. Our faith is weak. Our love is just a small little flame of a person who has the misfortune of committing a serious sin. They may think, what's the use? I've made such a mess of things. Why even try anymore? Well, that, of course, we know. Those thoughts are common, but it's from pride. That's what Judas did. He gave up. He thought his sin is too great that God can't forgive it. Of course, we know that's wrong. We see St. Augustine in the corner there, St. Mary Magdalene over here, very great sinners. Became so holy. Such great saints. Imagine reaching heaven and making the rounds after worshiping God and the Blessed Mother and wanting to see St. Mary Magdalene. That she turned her life around. Why can't we? You'd want to kneel before her. To thank her for her prayers for us sinners. What's beautiful about this feast is these souls in heaven, all these saints, are safe for all eternity. No more worrying. No more stress. No more sin. No more temptation. But now they are safe with God and Our Lady and their guardian angel. And there's a place for them. Remember, our Lord says that each of us has a place in heaven, a mansion. Some years ago on a Sunday, if you recall, I mentioned a particular holy soul who had a vision of what heaven is really like. Because it is a physical place. Because our Lord, sacred body, Blessed Mother, her body, they have to occupy a place. That's just what reality is. And they said, this person, the revelation they had, that it is so immense and so beautiful that they could not even fathom what they saw. It was gigantic. It was thousands of miles high, deep, and long. And there are all these mansions for each soul, each place. It isn't like a little niche or spot where you just sit, stand there and wait. You have your own home or mansion. And even the lowest place in heaven is beyond all comprehension. Do you know from all eternity God has a particular place reserved for us? Each one of us. And we think, well, if I barely make it to heaven, will I even get to that, my home in heaven? No sense in worrying about things like that. To just pray that I reach my home that God wills for me to have. That's what heaven is. Do you know why heaven is in existence? Why the saints are in heaven? Just developing what our Father Superior said on the Feast of Christ the King. It is the beautiful and incomprehensible love of God for why heaven exists. He created this beautiful place for His creatures whom He saved and became one of. He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to create. He didn't have to create mankind. But He did. And it gives more glory to Him that He did. That He shares His glory, His power, especially His love on a day like this. Recalling what the gospel says, these virtues that lead a soul to heaven, of poverty, not of just the material things, but poverty of spirit, not being attached to physical and material things, of humility, detachment from earthly goods, meekness of heart, resignation and patience in sorrow, uprightness, hunger for justice, kindness and understanding towards one's neighbor, purity of mind and heart, peacefulness of spirit and bearing of peace. fortitude, and generosity, which for the love of God embrace every suffering and endure every injustice. Such are the characteristics of a life led by the saints on earth, and such must be our program too, if we wish to attain sanctity as they did. And finally, just to remember, it's not easy to become a saint. We can't be lazy or willful or arrogant or proud. Can't do that. It doesn't work. Because sometimes we want the easiest way to go to heaven. We don't want to go through the effort or the fatigue or the fidelity to our spiritual duties. Look at the pagans, look at the worldly people. Just like the unjust steward. They, in their world, almost always outdo all of us in their fidelity to what they want to do, their goals, how they reach them. Countless hours to further their agenda, making money or possessing things or gaining power, whatever it is. Well, we often just wallow and complain. No, it requires self-renunciation. Moment to moment. It's not like we make a decision, okay, I'm going to renounce myself, and then wait, what happens? It's every day. You know, probably the greatest cross that St. Bernadette had to endure is the, not dozens, not hundreds, but literally thousands of times she was made to repeat the whole story of how the apparition of the Blessed Virgin occurred and what the Blessed Mother said before cardinals, bishops, priests, relatives, friends, and thousands of visitors over many, many years. She had to do it under obedience because that was her mission by her superiors. And what's amazing is her account never changed of the details. She'd always repeat exactly what happened, even when people were trying to trip her up, civil authorities and priests, who did not believe in her. And she did this for many years. Even when she was in a religious community, she'd have to go to the parlor and meet visitors to tell her account. And it was only until at the end of her life how people realized what kind of suffering she went through, because she was not well, chronic illness. But she had her duty and she fulfilled it for her circumstances. And she renounced herself and her own will. And that is what we must do. No more hesitation. No more mediocrity, no more cowardice attitude. St. Augustine said, In thinking of the saints, he said, if such as these have attained to sanctity, why not I? This one of the greatest minds in all history, and he had trouble for years giving up his evil ways of heresy and immorality. Here is an excerpt, finally, of just a prayer of another saint, St. Teresa of the Child Jesus. O holy souls, that now rejoice without fear of losing your joy and are forever absorbed in the praises of my God, happy indeed your lot. How right that you should employ yourselves ceaselessly in these praises. And how my soul envies you, free as you now are from the affliction caused by the grievous offenses which in these unhappy days are committed against God. No longer do you behold all the ingratitude of men and their blindness, nor the multitude of souls being carried away by Satan. O blessed heavenly souls, help us in our misery and intercede for us with the divine mercy, so that we may be granted some part of your joy, and you may share with us some of that clear knowledge which is now yours. And you, O my God, make us understand what it is that you give to those who fight manfully for the dream of this miserable life. Help us, O loving souls, to understand what joy it gives you to behold the eternity of your bliss, and what delight to possess the certain knowledge that it will never end. So we hope these words, this message, gives you some inspiration to desire heaven, to pray for it, pray for each other, that we may all reach our happy home in heaven. May God bless you.